Yo, what's up everybody? Mike Florio from RotoBaller here, once again going over the 2020 NFL schedule. This time I'm going to talk about the quarterback winners and losers and the tight end winners and losers from a fantasy football perspective. Because again, I'm sure you're getting that itch. The NFL draft is behind us. The schedule is now out. You're probably looking it over. You're starting to think about football. The first thing you're probably thinking is, hey, maybe I want to do a dynasty or a best ball draft. And boy, at RotoBaller, do we have you covered. Let me take a second to tell you about the FFPC, the home of season-long fantasy football. It's been 11 years since the FFPC filled their first Dynasty League, and they've grown to be the world's largest Dynasty League commissioner. Not a single FFPC league has ever folded, which is super impressive. And they have new startup Dynasty Leagues forming right now. They have slow drafts, live drafts, and for those of you with that itch right now, best ball drafts starting at just $35. And best of all, since you are such a loyal RotoBaller listener and you're watching this video right now, we will give you $25 off your first contest. All you got to do is go to rotoballer.com/FFPC to take advantage of this offer. Don't miss out on the FFPC experience, the home of season-long fantasy football. And now before you rush over to rotoballer.com/FFPC, which you should, and join a best ball league, for $25 off, you need to know who you should be targeting and who you should be avoiding, right? And that is what I'm here to give you now. With the schedule release, we now know who has a favorable and a unfavorable schedule for fantasy. But let me start off by telling you this. I said it in the other video, I'm going to say it in this one. It is not a perfect science. I understand that things change year to year. Just because a team struggled against quarterbacks last year doesn't mean they're a lock to struggle against them this year. There's personnel changes, coaching changes, matchup changes, all of that. But I do think it is worthy to look back at last year. And what I did was I looked back last year, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, fantasy points allowed from each team allowed to each position. I then took every team's 16-game schedule, inputted what the points allowed was by position for each team on their schedule, and found the average to give you the teams that, based off of last year's results, have the hardest and easiest schedules. And what I'm using this more so is, you know how you always get into a point of a rankings, or you're on the clock and you're looking at who's available and you're debating between a couple of players? I'm using this to settle those ties. I'm not, you know, greatly boosting someone up the rankings based off of this, but if I'm debating between two or three closely ranked names, one is a hard schedule, one is a favorable, well, that will be my tiebreaker. And now I'm going to jump into the quarterbacks and the most favorable schedule from based on last year's fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks would be the Carolina Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater. And I'm not a huge Teddy guy. I don't love that he's never averaged 250 yards as a starter. He's never averaged, you know, two passing touchdowns per game as a starter. He's had success in the NFL, but for fantasy, it has not been great. And there's some people who are Teddy believers, especially with the weapons that he has now in Carolina. And if you are one of them, the schedule is a reason for you to feel good. And what I did was I had him closely ranked. He's a QB2 for me and a low-end one at that. But I did boost him up a spot or two because of this, because, again, I was using it as a tiebreaker with some other quarterbacks that he's closely ranked against. The second easiest schedule is for the Dallas Cowboys. And I had Dak as my QB3 before they drafted CeeDee Lamb. Then they drafted Lamb, and I only felt even better about that. And now you're telling me he has the second easiest schedule for quarterbacks based on last year? Man, please, Jerry, if you're listening, because I know you may play fantasy, I don't know, sign Dak Prescott. Give this man his money. He is owed. I don't want this going down to the wire. I don't want to, oh, are we going to see Andy Dalton in week one? No, let's not get cute at all. Let's get Dak Prescott paid. Let's get this offense fully intact. And let's go out there and have him finish as a QB3, maybe even higher. He is pushing into being in that elite group. I can't put him yet with Mahomes and Lamar, but he is right on the brink, man. Third would be the Bears. I think this helps more for the Bears' weapons than the Bears' quarterbacks. Whether it is Trubisky or Foles, you're looking as a back-end fantasy option at that, a streaming option, and one quarterback leagues, probably a waiver wire guy. The Rams. This one is interesting because Jared Goff, coming into last year, the two seasons prior to that, was a very good fantasy quarterback. Last year, struggled a line, tough schedule, just struggled all around for the Rams. Goff looked like a shell of what he was the year before. Wasn't really fantasy viable. I still have him ranked as a QB2, but I do think he has upside. Because if Sean McVay and the Rams offense can get back to what it was pre-2019, and I think their offensive line is a little bit better than it gets credit for this year. If they can get back to anywhere close to what they were, not 75% of what they were before 2019, there is room for Goff to provide a return on your investment. And then the fifth best quarterback schedule goes to Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. And that is important because Russell Wilson is in that mix with Dak Prescott, right? Like, after Mahomes and Lamar, there's a tier of quarterbacks that includes Dak, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, and Josh Allen. And that, as of today, is how I have it ranked. I am debating Watson and Allen, flip-flopping those two guys back and forth. But the other three to me, I mean, Dak is clearly my QB3. I just spoke about that. And then you have Russ and Kyler Murray there that I've been debating 4 and 5 at the quarterback position. Well, knowing that the Seahawks have an easy schedule, fifth best from last year's results, that to me is enough to make to settle that tiebreaker, because more on Kyler Murray and his schedule a little bit later. But that to me, Russ is the winner of this. And also, Seahawks have been talking more about letting Russ throw more this year. And Penny could start the year on the pup list. Chris Carson, we know, is banged up. DJ Dallas, nice rookie pick, but I don't know if he's going to come in and be, you know, a heavy contributor right away. I think we could see Russ throw more this year. I like Russ as my QB4. Some other quarterbacks that have favorable schedules. One is Lamar Jackson. Boom. He's your top two quarterback. A lot of people, he is their QB1. Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is a little overlooked because Cousins is kind of boring. He's proven he's a little bit boring. We know what he's going to get. There's really no excitement in drafting a Kirk Cousins. And we know they love to run the ball. But I think Cousins is a valuable QB2. Especially if you're in a super flex or a two quarterback league, you could draft him, plug him in there, not really have to worry about it. Another winner, and he's a winner with the schedule, but really that's it, is Aaron Rodgers. The Packers, we know they needed to get some wide receiver help around Davante Adams, and they brought in Devin Funchess, and that's it. They didn't draft anyone. Instead, they drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement and another running back. I think this is going to be a run-heavy team. To me, Aaron Rodgers is not a QB1 anymore. Last year, half the games he started, he wasn't a top 20 quarterback in, because this is a team that loves to run the ball, especially near the goal line, especially now that they have A.J. Dillon, who is a bigger back than they've ever had before. I think Aaron Rodgers is a QB2 this year, but the schedule, if you're still a believer in Rodgers, the schedule is another reason for you to believe. And last is the Chargers, and I think we're going to see some Tyrod this year, some Justin Herbert. The schedule doesn't do a whole lot for me to boost these guys up than more than just late, probably in the QB3 range. But if you're in a super flex or a two quarterback league, there's still value to be had there, especially I think early on in the season when Tyrod Taylor is starting, because of his rushing ability. I think he will outlive where the price you have to pay for him until he loses the job to Justin Herbert, which I kind of expect. And then the bottom five for quarterbacks, the Dolphins. And now this hurts Ryan Fitzpatrick a little bit, but what I think it does even more is I think it takes a little bit of the shine off of Tua. Like, if you were drafting Tua in a 2QB league or something and stashing him and just expecting him to get starts in the second half of the year, knowing that he has to play the Bills twice, the Patriots twice, the Niners, the Chiefs, like, to me, it takes some of that shine away from both of those guys, because Fitzpatrick does have some upside in fantasy as well. The Texans are number two, which again, I'm debating flip-flopping Watson and Allen, and this is one of those things that now go in Allen's favor, that the fact that Deshaun Watson has a very tough schedule for quarterbacks based off of what we saw in 2019. The Jets come in. Again, the Jets and Dolphins, I'm not picking on them. But when you're in the same division with the Bills and Patriots, who have very, very good defenses, and then you the rest of the schedule you drew is super tough. The AFC East has a very, very tough schedule this year. And to me, that makes the Jets and Dolphins losers. And Sam Darnold, I still believe in Darnold. I do think Sam Darnold is talented. I don't like that he has Adam Gase. I don't like that, you know, last year he got sick and I think it was a completely lost season for him. And now you're talking about him coming into an Adam Gase-led team, a slow offense with a tough schedule. I don't want that man seeing ghosts two times a year against the Patriots and those other teams. So, to me, Darnold is a low-end QB2 in fantasy. The Raiders and Titans close this out as the top five. Derek Carr, to me, is just a low-end QB2, high-end QB3 in fantasy. He's more for Superflex and Q2 QB leagues, and that's it. But Ryan Tannehill's getting a lot of hype, and I'm just lower on Tannehill than a lot. Remember, Tannehill, and I can't knock what he did last year. He was a top-five quarterback from when he started on, but the Titans' offense was just, they were pulling off big plays. Their offense didn't change much from Mariota to Tannehill. It was still a primary run-first team. They were still a very slow offense in terms of pace. They were in the bottom five in plays per game. It's just they were so efficient, and they were hitting those long balls. And to me, I don't think they can keep that efficiency at what it was last year. So I am a little bit lower on Ryan Tannehill. He's still inside my top 20. He's a QB2 for me, though. Some people will even have him as a borderline QB1. And the schedule, knowing it is a tough schedule, knowing they're going to want to run the ball very heavy, it just, to me, it makes Ryan Tannehill more of a QB, a mid QB2 than anything else. And then some other quarterbacks quickly that have tough matchups. Patrick Mahomes, but he's Patrick Mahomes. If you want to lower him to QB2 and have Lamar's QB1 because Lamar had a favorable schedule, Mahomes is a tough one, no problem with that. Do not lower Mahomes any lower than QB2. Drew Lock has a tough schedule. And he is a quarterback that a lot of people, myself included, are excited about because of the talent around him. To me, still a upside QB2. The schedule puts a little bit of a damper on that. But again, I'm not devaluing him much. He is one of the QB2s with upside that I like to target in drafts. And then Kyler Murray. And no, I'm not scared off of Kyler Murray at all. But I said I was debating him and Russ. And knowing that Russ has such a favorable schedule, Kyler has such a tough schedule based off of 2019 results, that's enough for me to put Russ as my QB4 and Kyler as my QB5. Again, using this more as a tiebreaker for close-ranked players. Jumping into tight ends, the best tight end schedule is unfair because the rich get richer. George Kittle has the best schedule for tight ends. George Kittle's a top two tight end. You know that. More on why this schedule may factor in a little bit later. Tyler Higbee has the second best schedule for tight ends. Why is that important? Because Higbee was a record-setting tight end in the final 5 or 6 weeks of the season last year. But some people had doubts if we were going to see that carry over this year. I think we will. I think we started to see a shift in the Rams offense. I think that's why they dealt Brandon Cooks. Because I think we're going to see a lot of Woods, Kupp, and Higbee. And the schedule only makes me feel even safer. I have Higbee inside my top 10. Ian Thomas is third. Ian Thomas, to me, is more of a tight end too, but he does have some upside. I think he'll struggle for consistency, but in best ball, knowing that Bridgewater and the wide receivers and the tight ends now all have favorable schedules for the Panthers, I think it's a little bit easier to buy into that offense. Evan Ingram for the New York Giants has the fourth best schedule for tight ends. And I think Evan Ingram, when he's on the field, is a top five fantasy tight end. It's just a matter of if he can stay there. He is a top eight for me, even knowing the injury concerns. I think the talent is that high. The matchups are favorable, and I think the Giants will still be playing from behind a lot, which is going to lead to a lot of passing. I think Evan Ingram could legitimately be the top target getter on this team if he can ever stay healthy. And then fifth is the Minnesota Vikings, and this is interesting because they have two tight ends in Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith, who both could very well play factors. They split work last year. I think Irv Smith has the higher ceiling. He is the tight end that I like a little bit more. But I think Rudolph is a little bit safer, if that makes sense. But I do like it a lot, especially when you factor in that Diggs is gone. I know they brought in Justin Jefferson, but is he going to see as much of a workload as a Stephon Diggs was? I'm not sure. Sure, Thielen, though, is still the unquestioned top target in that offense. Some other tight ends with favorable matchups. TJ Hockenson has the sixth best schedule for tight ends. And I know last year he burst out on the scene with that 25-point game against the Cardinals and then really disappeared. It wasn't until later in the year we realized that was more because it was against the Cardinals than anything. But I still do think Hock has upside, especially when you factor in that the third wide receiver there is Danny Amendola. I think Hockenson can become the third target behind Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay being first, obviously. Mark Andrews has the seventh best tight end schedule. Mark Andrews is my tight end four, and this only confirms that. Him and Zach Ertz are my tier two tight ends in themselves behind Kelce and Kittle. Zach Ertz comes in right behind Mark Andrews with the eighth best tight end schedule. So those two guys, they're your tier two tight ends, your three and four off the board. And then Greg Olsen, who I think is a sleeper. Greg Olsen, we know he's struggled to stay healthy late in recent years, but when he's been on the field, he has been productive. And I think playing with Russ is an obvious QB upgrade. We know Wilson does like to throw to his tight ends. Will Disley was a thing last year, then he got hurt. Jacob Hollister became a thing for fantasy. I think you can get Greg Olsen as a tight end too, but I think he has the upside to play as a tight end one while he is on the field. Now moving over to the tight ends with bad matchups based off of last year's 2019 results. The Chiefs have the hardest schedule. And now that's why I said we'll talk more about Kittle later. These two guys, to me, they're one and two. They're one and two for everyone. They're in a tier of their own. They're going in the second round. But Kelce having the toughest schedule and Kittle having the easiest. I was already debating putting Kittle as number one because Kelce is super safe. Last year, he had he finished as a top 12 tight end in all but one game, and the one game he didn't was week one where he finished as tight end 13. I think there's no one safer in fantasy football than Travis Kelce, but I think Kittle's upside is at the same, they're even, I would say, neck and neck in upside. This is enough for me to really consider putting Kittle ahead of Kelce this year, but again, you can't go wrong with either one. The Browns come in at number two. That hurts Austin Hooper, who last year, before he got hurt, was the tight end one in football. I already thought the move from Atlanta to Cleveland was a little ding on his value. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to feature the tight end as much as we've seen Matt Ryan do so. Plus, Hooper went from a situation where he was competing with two other high-volume wide receivers for targets, in Julio and Ridley. And now he's going to have the same scenario with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. So he's still a top tight end, 10 tight end for me, but he is in that bottom, 6 through 10 range. The Redskins, they're third hardest, but who are you really targeting on their tight end staff? They're nothing but late round sleepers. Titans for Jonu Smith, fourth hardest. I already had Jonu Smith as a tight end too, and I'm not really too excited about him, but this only kind of reaffirms that for me. I know some people are excited for him. Jonu Smith seems to me like we're a dog chasing our tail here. We keep waiting for that big breakout season. I'm not sure it's ever going to happen. And then the Packers come in at fifth hardest. I know you're wondering, like, all those rookies that they drafted, that's going to hurt them. Rookie tight ends never really pan out in year one, especially for fantasy. So, to me, the Packers tight ends are all off the board now, knowing that. And then some other guys. Again, the Miami Dolphins, I'm not trying to pick on them. But Mike Gesicki, seventh hardest tight end schedule this year. Noah Fant, sixth hardest. These are two tight ends that many people are expecting breakouts out of who also have other weapons around them. Let's not forget, Noah Fant has Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy there. Plus, the running backs, and they also drafted Hamler. And then Gesicki has Devontae Parker, who really came on strong in the second half of the season, and Preston Williams. And let's not forget, Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki both broke out in the second half of the season after Preston Williams went down. So now that's another mouth there for Gesicki. Fant and Gesicki, to me, are like borderline tight end one, tight end two guys, like tight ends 12, 13, 14 range. And then you have Jared Cook, eighth hardest. He is a low-end tight end one for me. I think we're going to see some touchdown regression, but I still like Cook playing there with the Saints. And then two other guys who are tight end ones for me, but tough schedule has them as lower tight end ones. Hunter Henry, I think the QB change is a downgrade for him. And then you're also talking about a tough schedule now. And then Rob Gronkowski. I still think Gronk is a tight end one. I think he can get 700 yards, and that's kind of been the marker in the last 5 years to being a top 10 tight end. But tough schedule and health concerns has him more. He's my tight end 11, I believe. So just a borderline top 12 tight end. And that is the tough matchups for your quarterbacks and your tight ends. Again, I did another video on running backs and wide receivers. I hope you check that one out as well. And after you watch all these videos and you're feeling ready for fantasy football, make sure to head over to rotoballer.com/FFPC. Jump in a best ball draft. It's a great way to dip your toes in, start to learn the player pools, start to know where players are going and who you're going to want to target. It's the best way to get ready for your real drafts. And hey, we got time right now. Let's draft. If you enjoyed this video, my other video, you know you could check out all of them over at rotoballer.com or Rotoballer's YouTube page. If you like my work, you could follow me on Twitter at Michael F. Florio. You could also catch me on SiriusXM every Saturday and Sunday on Rotoballer Radio. And as always, thank you so much for taking the time and watching.